You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Neil Delamere joins us now. He's going to be coming to Glore early on in 2019, and he's also got a gig coming up at University Concert Hall. Before all of that, though, how did you feel, Neil Delamere, just after 6 o'clock Sunday evening when your Liverpool got the gammiest win in the history of Premier League soccer?
Yeah, I was in the car and I was following it on the radio, and I was just about to go, all right, this is over now. And then I heard this, somebody scored, Origi scored, but you know those people on top of a petrol station, those windy men, you know, that are just kind of like a marionette. That's what happened, and then I went home and I watched it that night. So very happy. But listen, I'm an Offaly man who supports Offaly, the Republic of Ireland and Liverpool. Will you give me something, for God's sake? And they're going to be the best Liverpool team not to win the league, probably.
As a Man United fan, I envy you, to be blunt, but it's the gammiest thing I've seen in a long time. But I knew you'd get a kick out of it at the same time. But
It was a cross between a shot and the Fosbury flop the first time the guy went over the high jump backwards, yeah. So we'll take anything we can get to keep us close to City.
The only thing is that the one thing that the Fosbury flop didn't have that this had was a goalkeeper kind of setting it up. It's like the judge of the side that the high jump just let the bar down by 4 foot before he jumped over it, you know?
Yes, yes. And as long as Mr. Pickford gets the money I sent him, I'll be happy enough. Probably not enough to bribe a Premier League footballer now that I think about it. But anyway, listen, we'll take the win.
And yes, we'll move on and more serious matters. Aside from raising an eyebrow amongst every guard in the country, why are you going on tour with a show called Controlled Substance?
Do you know, I didn't consider the possibility of my car being impounded. Okay, so that's why all those people with... Okay, that explains a lot. There's been a large Colombian fan base that I've got recently. A lot of people quoting lines from Narcos. Yeah, the show's called Controlled Substance. I've been saying this around, people have been asking me why it's called that. This is my theory is that we all just want control over our lives, right? We just want enough money to be able to tell everybody else to go away and leave us alone and feck off, right? And that's why when someone wins the lotto and goes, I'd still work, like, those people, what are you doing? If I won the lotto, and this is no disrespect to you, but I wouldn't even finish this interview. I wouldn't. And neither would you. Like, you would, the two of us.
Depends on the size of the lotto, of course.
Euromillions.
Oh yeah, gone. I literally stopped there for 2 seconds because I was looking at the door on the way out.
Exactly. I mean, your millions, you'd ask a question, you'd look up from your copious notes. He doesn't have notes, he just wings it. And you'd look and this chair would be slowly revolving and this door would be slowly closing. A text would go off my phone. So my theory is that that's what we want. We just want a little bit of control. It's not really about material goods. And that's why it's very frustrating, as you realise, as I have over the last 2 years, as an Irish person, you've no control over anything. Brexit, nothing to do with us. Yeah. Worst affected. Trump could affect loads of 50,000 undocumented Irish, for example, and various other things. No control over. Kim Jong-un, no control over. So it's about all these things of we have the illusion of control, but we don't really. And how do you cope with that?
Very deep. For an hour and a half or 2 hours of making me laugh.
The blurb is deep. But I am very, very shallow. I am a puddle of information. No, it's about just kind of frustrations and those things, and then and I vent on them, and then actually the moral of it all is really kind of just to let things go, you know, to live like my father. I kind of copped that my dad doesn't really care about what people think of him because he can't control it. We went to a funeral a while ago, and the woman was very, very old, and she had, so it wasn't a very sad occasion, you know. And when I was about four rows back, I was beside him, and he's on a stick now because he broke his hip. And after the Eucharistic minister walked about halfway down the church, you know, to hand out the communion, and you could see my dad going, I'm not walking all the way back down there, and I'm not walking up there. So as she walked by him, he just leaned out of the pew like a dog looking out a car window. And she, in fairness, locked eyes and just hoofed it like a holy frisbee straight into his mouth. And it was exceptionally funny. I was then I turned around and every single older person had gotten the same idea. They're all like fledgling birds. Like, if he's not moving, I'm not moving. And I said to him, you don't really care about what people think of you. And he goes, you can't control it. Relinquish the control to be happier. So that's kind of the moral of the story, really.
Your dad was your inspiration for your last show as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. And I'm going to keep that man alive for as long as I'm touring. He's going to be hooked up to a George Foreman grill and a Nutribullet if I can help it. Yeah, every so often he just does something that's kind of gold and I extrapolate out from it. But that's the moral of this one. Yeah, last year's show was about me and himself doing the last time he did the Meals on Wheels ever. Mm. And I actually brought him to Vicar Street to see it.
Okay.
And he went to see it and I said, by the way, the man I've been talking about for the last hour is up in the balcony, and he got a standing ovation and then got groupies and then was telling young women who were getting pictures with them, he goes, I have to have this stick to control all the groupies. So he enjoyed the limelight more than I do. So yeah, he's a bit of a laugh. We share the same sense of humour and he's a muse, which is an unpaid position, which I frequently remind him of. A muse is an unpaid position.
He is but the inspiration. You have to make it work. Yeah. But you need that, I would imagine, as a comedian in terms of something could happen in the car on the way home. Maybe not in the car, but you know what I mean? Something could happen anywhere that could be a 10-minute bit in a show. Absolutely. But you need that spark. You need something to get it going.
Yeah, and usually it's because you're coming up to a tour time, so you're looking for things to be the spark, you know.
I thought it was just radio where deadlines spurred action.
Yes. What was your man? The guy who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Pratchett.
Douglas Adams.
Sorry, maybe it's Douglas Adams. Then I always get confused. I like the sound. I like deadlines. I like the sound of them whizzing by. I think it was one of those guys. Yeah, I mean, you put the pressure on yourself. That's why I do Edinburgh every year, because I suppose this job is largely unfocused and largely unstructured, if you allow it to be. So I do Edinburgh in August every year for the Fringe Festival. So you have to have your show done for then, and that makes you on a rainy, you know, March night where you're touring and you're playing to big crowds going, well, the next thing has, you have to start the next thing, you know. Mm. So yeah, you're right, you're always looking out. You see comedians keying things into their phones all the time. All the time, you know.
Is that your method? Is it into a phone? Is there a notebook?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a little notes, and the trouble is that you wake up in the middle of the night, you write something, and you wake up the next day and you go, Badger Bicycle, tiny microphone, and you go, well, that was hilarious at 2 o'clock last night, but I have no idea what it means now. So, I mean, we get a little bit better about taking notes. But yeah, so when something like that at the funeral happens and it's kind of self-contained, you go, okay, this is definitely going into a show, and what does this mean? Or last year, something happens and then you kind of impose meaning on it, I suppose. I realised that there are certain signs that you and your parents and your grandparents are facing mortality. Like, there's, you know, they take it downstairs room would be one, or they stop driving, particularly at night, would be another one. Or when your 83-year-old dad and your 8-year-old nephew walk into the house and say the same sentence for the exact same reason, which was, let's build a ramp. And I was thinking, right, you want to do BMX. I don't think granddad wants to do BMX. So sometimes it just happens and you write it, or sometimes you go... So for the moment, the next thing I think I'll try and do is write something about trying to help the environment, or try and write something about you know, the obesity crisis or something, because you know that it's going to last for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's relevant to what's going on as well. So inspiration comes in different ways. Sometimes it's self-contained, and sometimes you actually sit down and try and perspire it out, shall we say.
And just because you brought it up, I'm going to have to make reference to Brexit, because it will affect any Irish comedian doing business. Yeah. Well, any Irish person, obviously, but comedians doing business cross-channel. I'm just thinking the fact that when you're back here in Glore on the 12th of January, or when you're on some of your later dates, late March, things, and they'll be in Ireland, you'll be okay, but things could be very different for all of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose I go across the border maybe 50, 60 times a year, and I think I'm worried. I am frankly worried. We did this mockumentary called Soft Border Patrol last year, and we were only meant to do one episode as a taster, and we got three episodes out of it. And we've done another series. There's going to be five, but it's going to be shown on BBC Northern Ireland around Brexit time. It's going to be interesting, because if it's a really hard Brexit in terms of tone, like, we're all going, soft border, smuggling your diesel, and then people are really genuinely annoyed. So I think we're going to have to do pickups closer to the date.
Yes.
And then just apologise. It'd just be in half an hour of me going, I'm dreadfully sorry, we thought this was hilarious at the time. But yeah, people are worried, and they're right to be worried. I hope... Listen, it's the decision of the sovereign decision of the British people. I would like to see them not leave, and I would like to see a second referendum. And I mean, at the moment, Theresa May is going around the UK trying to sell a deal that looks increasingly moribund. It's like a cross between a bus tour and a trip to Dignitas. That's what it looks like from the deal's point of view. So I have no idea how it's going to how it's going to pan out. And that's the one thing that everybody knows.
Yeah.
They know nothing.
Absolutely. The good thing about this is I'm airing it. We're recording this Monday afternoon. I'm going to air just Tuesday for fear that even this will be out of date probably by, you know, the end of the week, you know? Okay.
There's going to be a lot of Germans outside. They are now taking over the radio station. Gavin, you have done very well as a secret agent for a long time. And yeah, it's a European takeover. The sad thing is, we're joking about this and the audience in Clare knows we're joking about this. If you played that little bit in certain parts of Kent, I think they'd be going, we knew it. We always suspected there was a German takeover. Like, the rampant paranoia around the whole issue is kind of scary.
Yeah. Absolutely. And entrenched views on both sides and no middle ground and lots of issues. Brexit aside, controlled substances coming to Glore, as I say, on the 12th of January and the concert hall in Limerick the week later, the 19th. What can you promise for the fans here in the Midwest?
We'll be talking about Brexit. We'll be talking about Trump a little bit. We'll be talking about...
Is Trump not off limits for comedians? Or should he not be... Can you parody the man?
Well, you can and you can't. I mean, you think you can't and then you think... Like, last week it transpired that he mixed up the Balkans and the Baltic states. He met with three people from the leaders of Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania and blamed them for the Yugoslav war. And there was three of them going, do you know what he's talking about? Like, let's bluff and we'll find out what he's talking about. His wife is from the former Yugoslavia. Like, my missus is from Munster. I've never... confuse that with the city, the German city of Munster. I've never walked out of a pub in Kerry with some lad going, he's after blaming me for the invasion of Poland in the 1930s. I wasn't even in Poland. So you think he's beyond parody and then every so often he does something. But it kind of ties into the fact that he is riding roughshod over certain conventions, and again, yes. Irish people no control over it, so it kind of feeds into that theme. But it also, as every year I will do, we will mess around with the crowd as well, which makes it individual in each night, and we'll talk about the venue and all the rest. I did the last gig I did before I did this, a couple of weeks ago, I did a Presbyterian church, a functioning wow. Presbyterian church. I did not realise, I was told that apparently Presbyterian churches are not consecrated, so you can have an art centre in it during the week, and then a man plays an organ at the weekend and there's the services. So I'll play anywhere and I'll reference anything. So each show is kind of a little bit different than the last.
And as I say, coming to Glore in Ennis the 12th and the Concert Hall in Limerick on the 19th of January. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. Neil Delamere, pleasure as always. Thank you.
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.